Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
This morning we're going to take a look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "But you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven." Did you know that you are registered in heaven? You are there. "To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." You remember in the story of Cain and Abel, Cain killed his brother Abel, and you know, God said to Cain that your brother's blood cries out, and it was crying out vengeance for taking his life. And so there is a blood that cries, a blood that is crying for justice. And here we see that there's another blood, and that's the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it speaks better things than that of Abel. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ does not speak retribution. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks, though. It speaks amazing things. It speaks better things. When you look at the book of Hebrews as a whole, it's really contrasting the old covenant and the new covenant. It's giving us some of those old covenant types and shadows and showing us how they're fulfilled in Christ. And we see over and over in that book of Hebrews how the new covenant is better. Better promises, you know, just better everything, you know. And so one of the things that we see in that word better, again here in the book of Hebrews, is the blood of Christ speaks better things. The blood of Christ speaks. This morning, I just want to get into the blood of Christ speaks. And I want to get into this morning just a little bit about what are these better things that the blood of Christ is speaking? The blood of Christ is speaking something. We spend a lot of time at Door of Life talking about faith and the Word of God and the importance of believing God and obeying the Word and experiencing that law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and all those different things that are kind of faith-oriented, which is absolutely what we need to do. We need to preach the Word. We're not only saved by grace through faith, but we live by faith. We walk by faith. And so we have a faith-oriented life. It's just no way around that when you're living for God. But it's important to realize, too, that our entire faith walk in God is based on something that is very physical, very tangible, something that your eye can see. The blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And 2,000 years ago, this event at the cross really happened. Jesus took real nails in his hands, drove, and really bled for me and for you. That happened. And actual physical blood was shed as a result of that. And when you just run your own study in the Word of God on the blood and the blood of Christ. We'll do a little bit this morning. Can't exhaust it, obviously, in 30 minutes or whatever, but I want to begin to show you and point you in the direction of the powerful, precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's one of those truths that as you're growing and as you're maturing spiritually, it's one of those truths that will help ground you in your faith. It's one of those truths that will help bring you back as you're endeavoring to walk with God and live for God. There is just one, this thing that is tangible, inescapable, the the blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't an ethereal blood. It was real physical blood that was shed for me and for you. And we're going to look this morning at some of those better things. Verse 24 says, the better things that that blood speaks. And these are just powerful reminders to us as we're walking, as we're growing in the things of God, about the precious blood of Jesus Christ and how it's relevant to us today in our lives. One of the things that the blood speaks, okay? I'm just kind of putting it this way in my own words, but it speaks God's ownership. The theological word is redemption. But I think the word that, you know, hits a little closer to home for us is ownership. That blood, the physical blood, has currency in the heart of God, a holy God. That blood had the currency, the purchasing power, to buy our very spiritual beings to Him. The Scripture tells us in 1 Peter, puts it this way. It says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amplified 19 says, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. And here, again, one of the powerful things the blood speaks to us, it doesn't only speak the fact that we were purchased, but the blood of Christ really speaks your value to God. Remember before Jesus went to the cross, he was praying in Gethsemane, and he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Well, if the Father could have interrupted him right there, he said, yeah, just tell him, you know, to give a $50 offering. And you don't have to go to the cross. I'll look at that $50 offering and I'll forgive all their sin. No amount of gold, no amount of silver was enough. If it was a matter of gold or silver, God would have done it with gold or silver. In fact, the Bible says if there had been a law given, which could have given life, righteousness would have been by the law. If God could have done this through a series of commands, he would have done it through a series of commands. Had to have the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Had to be done. What does that speak to me when I remember that I was purchased by the blood? It shows me my worth, my value to God. What am I worth to God? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But that was not enough to buy me. I was more expensive than that. My value was higher than that. I always tell the story about the little boy with the boat, but I'll say it real quick for those who might not have heard it. Little boy builds the boat, his own hands, precious, playing with it in the water one day. The boat sails away. He tries to get the boat. He can't seem to get it. Takes the stick. It floats off in the current. Gone. Little boy's hard work on that little boat. Coming home from school one day, goes by a pawn shop, sees the little boat in the window. Runs up to the owner, says, wow, sir, that's my boat. Give me my boat. The owner says, sorry, son, that boat is my boat right now. He says, if you want it, you're going to have to pay $1 to get it from me. Obviously, somebody found his boat, washed it along the shore, and was able to get a few bucks or something, 50 cents or something, I don't know. As the story goes, then little boy runs home, gets his piggy bank, pours out all his coins, and just adds it all up in exactly $1. Takes that handful of change, runs back to the pawn shop, plops it on the counter. Guy counts it out, exactly $1. Reaches into the storefront window, takes the little boat, gives it to the boy. Boy takes his little boat, goes outside of the bright sunny day, looks at his boat glistening in the sun. He hugs it really close to his chest. He says, now you're twice mine. First because I made you, now because I bought you. And it's a little story I love to tell and tell and tell, because for me it just captures the fact. He made us. We fell away from him. And he bought us back. We were in the pawn shop, but the price tag around our neck was not $1. The price tag around our neck was the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. There is no other way. The price was the blood of Christ. The price was a sinless life. That was it. I mean, if it could have been done again through works, yeah, just tell him to bake a few pies and tell him to help some people and give some money and do some good works. And then that'll be, no, the price was the blood of Christ. What does the blood speak? It speaks ownership, but it speaks our value. It speaks our value to God. When the enemy comes and tries to devalue you, you remind him and you remind yourself, I've been bought, redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My value exceeds that. Have you ever had your financial situation try to dictate your value to you? Finances aren't going right and you can feel low. You got to realize you were bought with something more precious than gold and silver, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My worth is not defined by my bank account. My worth is defined by a physical, tangible, precious blood that it took to buy me back to God. The blood. You understand, my faith in Christ means nothing without the blood. The blood had to come first. Without the shedding of blood, there's nothing for me to put my faith in. The blood was shed for me. We see here in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Ah, I love that. We were bought at a price. And this is really just as direct as you can be. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. You are not your own. You don't own yourself. You've been bought out of that pawn shop. And thank God I was bought. I'm glad I'm still not in the pawn shop. There's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of God's dear Son. When a person receives Christ, they get translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. They get translated out of that pawn shop of the kingdom of darkness. I'm in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm not even my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. What does that speak to me too when the blood speaks? It doesn't only speak my worth, it speaks my identification, whose I am. I used to be in the kingdom of darkness. Now I'm in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I love teaching on in Christ and who we are in Him, that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, that the old has passed away, all has become new. It's what we would call identification. Who do I identify? Who do I identify with? Do I identify with the weakness of my flesh, or do I identify myself with the glory of the spiritual truths of God's love for me? I got to choose that every day, what I'm going to identify myself with. But that physical, tangible blood in my face reminds me of ownership. I am owned by God. Whether I'm feeling the goosebumps of the new creation or not, God owns me. I've been bought with the blood. I'm His. Whether I had a good day or whether I had a bad day, whether I raised 5 people from the dead or whether I failed miserably in sin, I am bought with the price. I am His. The precious blood of Christ speaks ownership. It speaks my value. It speaks who I belong to. I belong to God. I absolutely belong to Him. He owns me. He owns me. And I'm going to tell you, when your spirit leaves your body, you're going to be so glad. We kind of live in a culture where it's self-independent and I just, you know, don't control me. You want God to control your life. That's what the lordship of Jesus is. It's not just a phrase. It's His control and lordship in your life. And there is nothing better. See, either you're going to be your own Lord or He's going to be Lord. And when He owns you, praise God, you belong to Him. You know what? You are going to die someday unless the Lord comes back, then we'll be caught up. But if the Lord tarries and you die, your spirit leaves your body. And your spirit will go to its rightful owner. Here's the praises of heaven. They sang a new song saying, you're worthy. They're talking to Jesus. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you are slain. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. When your spirit leaves your body and you're in heaven and you see the one who bought you into the kingdom of God's dear Son, you're going to be singing the song of redemption, the song of the redeemed. You will be forever declaring with a gratefulness that we can only kind of comprehend right now. But it's real. I belong to God. I'm growing up spiritually. My life is a work in progress. But I belong to God the whole time. He owns me. Praise God. The enemy wants to feel like he owns you. No, there's a blood that has bought me. What are we talking about? The blood speaks. These are some times when I can just kind of say, praise God, I'm going to get my bearings. I'm going to find true north on my compass. True north. I have been bought with a price. That blood doesn't change. It is a physical, tangible blood. The Bible says there are the witnesses, there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Word, the Spirit, and the blood. We have the Spirit of God that's obviously in the earth, been poured out in the earth, and the blood, there's the witness of the water and the blood, both. You know, Jesus poured out water and blood, both flowed. Think about that. That poured from him into the earth. That's still there. This earth is marked with his blood, bearing witness, a physical, tangible blood. Not an ethereal thing. It really was shed. And I can look at that and say, yes, and that blood has bought me. I belong to you, Lord. Bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in my body, my spirit, which are God's. Not only that, but the physical blood speaks God's love. Again, another one of those things where we can take some of these principles that we've kind of known and connect it to the physical blood of Christ, and it kind of helps, for me, it kind of helps jerk the slack out a little bit. Yes, I am his. Bought with the price, redeemed, bought back to God, he did it. Not only that, but it speaks of God's love. Romans 5, 6 says, while we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, shall we be saved. Shall we be saved from wrath through him. Praise God. God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Again, God calls that a demonstration of love, Christ on the cross. Hebrews puts it this way, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, talking about this old covenant contrasts again in the book of Hebrews, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Praise God. The blood of Christ, again, it's one of those things that we have to remind ourselves is a physical, tangible expression of the love of God. It's one thing for a person to say, I love you. Okay? Anybody can mouth the words, I love you. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He demonstrated, in other words, verse 8 says, he demonstrated the love. He didn't just say, I love you. He demonstrated his own love. How? By the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When we think of the blood, and this is why we take communion regularly and why we need to take it regularly. We take it once a month at Door of Life. Other churches will take it weekly, or you can take it personally too in your own secret place time. But it's important to realize that the importance of the, you know, taking communion is it reminds us of the fact of God's love. I look at that cup. And that's a cup of love. You know, it's a tangible, physical, tangible expression of the love of Jesus Christ. And so I know that. You know, we go through stuff. We wonder. We have our why God questions. We see things happen. We live in a world, you can just turn on the news and see atrocity and see things going on. And, you know, you don't have to watch too long to scratch your head and wonder why God. Thank God for the blood. The blood reminds me that even if I don't know why, God loves me. See, the enemy tries to take those things and tries to undermine God's care for you and God's love for you. The blood is the reminder, yes, God loves me. He demonstrated it. He gave his life for me. And the important thing to understand, too, as you see in verse 5, it says, much more than having been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. And I just want to connect the dots here a little bit. When we say love of God and justified, if you have a debt, just kind of think of it in the natural. If you've got a debt, maybe you've got a, if you had a debt, a credit card debt, or whatever kind of debt, and it's an overwhelming debt, all right, and the creditor is on you, and somebody comes in and pays that debt for you, and then the creditor all of a sudden likes you again, and maybe wants to borrow you some money again or do something else, is that creditor showing mercy toward you? No. Your debt was paid. If you understand, God, your debt was really paid in Christ. Your debt was paid. The blood of Christ is not God just turning away at your sin and saying, oh, that's okay. It's not okay. Your sin is not okay. If it was okay, Jesus wouldn't have had to shed the blood. That blood really paid the debt. It satisfied God's wrath. It says in Isaiah about the Father, it says it pleased the Father to bruise him, the Son. It wasn't a sadistic pleasure of physical pain. It was the wrath toward man's sin that was satisfied what Christ did, in what Christ did. And so I'm justified. That wrath of God is satisfied in the blood. Praise God. And I can see that. And it goes on, you know, in Hebrews, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience? We still deal with sin, you know. And thank God, I can just simply, this is what 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, his word's not in us. My little children, I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Okay? Thank God there is a love, this blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us, forgive us. Now, there's been a lot of confusion in the body of Christ lately about the cleansing of sin and grace and different things like that, thinking that, well, if I have to confess sin, then, you know, what does that all mean? Am I not already righteous in my spirit because I received Christ? Yes, you're already righteous in your spirit when you receive Christ. A Christian who sins does not become corrupted in their spirit. It doesn't affect their spirit. It does affect your conscience, though. It doesn't corrupt the work of redemption that God did on the inside of you, but it does affect your conscience. That's where it says in Hebrews, how much more so the blood of Christ, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. When I sin, when I know willfully do what God hasn't told me to do, it doesn't make me a child of the devil. I'm still a child of God who missed the mark. It affects my conscience. And so when I confess and say, God, I confess it, it was wrong. I receive your mercy and grace that you paid for 2,000 years ago to cleanse my conscience from those dead works to what serve the living God. I receive that forgiveness. My spirit stays the same the whole time, but my conscience is clear. And what are you doing? Your conscience, if you can think of it this way, your conscience is like where your spirit and your mind meet. It's like that crossroads. You know, we say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Your spirits are so connected, they're so closely related, it takes the word of God to divide them asunder. They're that close. Joints and marrow, or bones and marrow. Bones and marrow are really close. Your soul and your spirit are really close. When you sin, your spirit, you know, is still whole, still right, but your conscience, your mind, you are mentally conscious of the fact that you violated your own spirit. You violated what you know God said is wrong. Again, it doesn't corrupt your spirit. It affects your conscience, and that affects your fellowship with God. And so when I confess my sin, I am taking my conscience and I'm saying, that was wrong. God, I don't agree with that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And Father, I confess it was wrong. I receive forgiveness and conscience cleansing grace. And what does that do? Does it make me born again? No. It just simply puts me back into fellowship with God. My conscience is cleansed and I am hearing and I have peace with God in my conscience in fellowship with Him. Walk this out. Don't get caught up in somebody's spiritual theory about stuff. Because you could have a spiritual junk drawer on the inside of you, and what happens is if you see the conscience is, this is where the intimate, this is the secret place stuff right here. This is where I am being honest with God. And there is something so liberating when you can say, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. There is a coming clean. It is clearing. It is cleansing. Paul writing to the Corinthians talking about godly repentance, godly sorrow that works repentance. Not to be repented of. What vindication. What clearing of yourselves. There is a good godly repentance for new creations in Christ Jesus who need to have their hearts and minds for the blood of Christ is there. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't make a big deal of it. I don't stop and get self-analytical and go on some merry-go-round of sin consciousness and live there forever and ever. People can go off on a ditch in any Bible topic you want to talk about. It's a very quick, simple thing. Father, what I consciously know is wrong, I confess it is wrong. All right? And so I'll just say, I'm clear. Thank you, Lord. You know, and then I just go on down the road. And I believe it, and I receive it. I kind of give you that analogy. And here's the important thing, too. Once you confess it, that's it. There's nothing else. There's nothing left to do. I'm not waiting for a feeling. The Bible says he's faithful and just. Why is it just for him to do it? Because the blood was shed. It's a just thing. The blood was shed. The conscience-cleansing blood was shed. And so it's just when Christ forgives us because the price is already paid. And so I walk free. I walk free and clear. I've walked free with my conscience clear. Not born again, but a clear conscience walking with God. Do you know a believer can be in fellowship with God and a believer can be out of fellowship with God? But you're still in the family of God. A husband and wife can be in fellowship with each other or out of fellowship with each other, and they're still married. But you can be in fellowship and out of fellowship. Same way with you and the Lord. Great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's very akin to a natural marriage. You can be in fellowship or not in fellowship. It's lonely when you're not in fellowship. It's nice to be in fellowship. Same way spiritually. I don't stick my head in the ground when I've sinned and just confess that I'm righteous in Christ so I feel better about myself. Yuck. Yuck. That feeling-oriented faith will put you on a merry-go-round that's a heavy yoke. No. This isn't about me feeling good about myself. This is about the truths of God's word and a real blood that was shed that I look to and I say, thank God, there is nothing my conscience is dealing with here. There is nothing my conscience is dealing with here that the blood can't cleanse it from. And I thank you, Lord, for the conscience-cleansing blood of the Lamb. And I just confess it. I receive the cleansing, which is really the cleansing of your conscience from that unrighteousness. Where my conscience is back in with God again. Praise God. I thank God for it. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a conscience cleansing love of God. I love this. This is a camp song that we would sing. It's resonated in my spirit for years. It goes, I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus and he lives in me. Oh, what a joy it is to know my heavenly Father loves me. So he gives to me my Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. And again, even if I sin and I miss it, my spirit isn't corrupted and I don't become... I'm still that new creation in Christ Jesus. But my conscience is affected. My fellowship is affected. You understand? And so, but thank God the same blood that redeemed me can cleanse my conscience as a believer to live in regular fellowship and peace. And when you're in fellowship with God, that's when you get the stuff. That's when you get the direction for your life. That's when you get words. That's when you are able, God's able to minister through you and do amazing things. Fellowship with God. That precious blood of Jesus Christ helps you to maintain that fellowship with God. And then here's just I just wanted to bring this one out too. Let's see if I got it here. Yeah, this is just a great little story. Evangelist John Wesley, returning home from a service one night, was robbed. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out, "Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber paused. "My friend," said Wesley, "may you live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The thief hurried away. Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that this visitor, now a believer in Christ, as a successful businessman, was the one who had robbed him years before. "I owe it all to you," said the transformed man. "Oh no, my friend," Wesley exclaimed, "not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." Hallelujah. Oh, that's a liberating thought. When you know the precious blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. I mean, I know what that's like to play those games in my mind where I'm trying to feel better about myself. There's nothing that can make you feel better about yourself. It's only the precious blood of Jesus. It's faith in that blood. That's how you humble yourself. It's when you don't try to do things. You don't try to read 3 chapters of Scripture to cleanse away the guilt. You just throw yourself on the mercy of God and say, "Thank you, the blood is enough. It's good enough. It's good enough." You know, I brought this out, I think, the last communion service, just kind of a picture in my mind. I don't mean it to be comical or sacrilegious, but I had that picture of Christ on the cross, bleeding and suffering and agonizing, and all of a sudden I just saw in my mind that infomercial flashing below, "Don't try this at home." And God spoke that because that's what I've tried at home. Anytime you're beating your, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have done that, I promised 14 times I won't do it, I'm down and down and down and down," you're trying that at home. You're trying to suffer for your sin. And it's not humility. It can seem like humility, it's not humility. Humility is when you say, "Father, I confess, that was wrong, I confess it, but I also receive the forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive the cleansing from all sin." Humility receives the gift of the cleansing and receives it. Praise God. That's what the tangible blood, it speaks the love of God. Finally, the blood speaks God's promises. And this is really, if you get this one this morning, it'll really put a charge in the rest of your theology. Because your theology is based on the Word of God. And we know the Bible is the Word of God, and we trust it, we believe it. Like I said, I believe it more today than I ever have. I believe that it is the Word, but my life bumps into it, and I just realize, oh, the Bible is the Word of God. There are no loopholes. I need to do things God's way. But I'll tell you what, this revelation is one of the things that I think has helped me as much as any to put my faith in the Word of God, the written Word of God. And that is the fact that the blood of Christ speaks God's promises. Mark, this is Jesus, of course, just before he went to the cross. It says, "Then he," Jesus, "took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." But what does he say here in verse 24? "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." It's my blood of the new covenant. We think of the blood, as we have just got done talking about, in connection with the forgiveness of sins, which it absolutely is. It's the foundation for everything else. But the blood of Jesus Christ does not stop at the forgiveness of sins. It's the blood of the new covenant. When you look at the old types, everything was sprinkled with blood in the old covenant. All the, you know, the priests would sprinkle everything with blood. And that's why he said the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. Here we see Jesus saying the blood of the new covenant. When you look at your Bible, you think of it a lot of times in two parts. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. All right, Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." In other words, now, when I think of the physical, tangible blood of Jesus Christ, I don't only think of it, restrict it in terms of the forgiveness of my sin, but I see that it's the blood of the new covenant. That blood is the same blood that backs the whole new covenant. the whole new covenant. A covenant between two people. You know, again, you can go back to the marriage covenant in terms of, you know, maybe vows or things that you might exchange. When you look at the covenant with God and man, God in His Word gives us the terms of His covenant. He has promises in His covenant. This is what Peter says. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." That's our whole spectrum of existence down here, life and godliness, "through the knowledge of Him." That's the words of our covenant. "Who called us by glory and virtue, by which knowledge have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." There are promises in this word that are all part of that new covenant that are backed by blood. They're backed by that blood. In other words, when I have confidence, I can go and say, "Father, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me according to, I shouldn't have said it, done it. I just received that forgiveness of yours." I have confidence because I know the blood was shed. I know that. Well, that same blood-based confidence I can have in the entire New Testament. It's the new covenant in my blood. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's part of the new covenant in His blood. It's backed by blood. I just brought this along this morning. When I was a kid, I was a coin collector, and I'd also collect bills through the years as well, too. And my grandpa always had this great one. This is, 1923, I guess, an old dollar bill. And they used to call them horse blankets because they were just so, maybe they call them that, maybe in hindsight, I don't know. But it's like a horse blanket dollar bill. And in the olden days, when they had these big dollars, and even, I got another one of these here too, and this might be like from the 1950s, yeah, 57. It's probably getting ready to go out. But in the olden days, when we had money like this, you would look at it, and they weren't just dollar bills. They were silver certificates. So it says, silver certificate. In $1 in silver, payable to the bearer on demand. So if I could go back in my time machine to 1957 or 1923, and I had one of these, I could go to Bay Lake Bank down here, and I could give them that, and they'd have to weigh out a dollar's worth of silver and give it to me. They would be obligated, payable to bearer on demand, the financial institutions. Your dollars were actually backed by something tangible, solid, that you could see, touch, taste, and handle. Now, I don't mean necessarily taste. I know some people like the taste of metal, but it was something tangible, real. Now our dollar bills don't say that anymore. It just says this note is legal and tender for all debts in public and private. And we all know that it's just based on the trust of the U.S. government. They can print as many of these or as few of these as they want to without any kind of accountability to metal, to back it. In other words, it's no longer backed with something tangible or solid. It's just backed with trust. And we've seen, and we know even prophetically, that this thing's going to collapse because of that, ultimately. But in the olden days, it was like that. So today, we've got money again. It's backed by a trust, a hope that the government will remain solvent to keep these bills, retain value in these bills. Before, the bill was backed by something solid like silver and gold. That's where it's important to understand these precious promises are backed by something tangible. The blood of Jesus Christ backs these promises. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, payable to bearer on demand. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's backed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? My faith does not back this word. My faith has zero backing on this word. This word is true, whether I believe it or not.
It's backed by the blood. What are we talking about? Just exceedingly great and precious promises. They're backed by the blood. It's not just promises that I'm memorizing that I'm hoping to use my faith to. It's backed by the blood. It's backed by the blood. And then that's why, you know, things like this. Then I did some revelation. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They're connected. And they did not love their lives to death. The blood of the Lamb that keeps your conscience continually cleansed, continually in fellowship with him as you're overcoming things in your life. And the word of your testimony, which is the word of God, that's backed by the blood. And there's an overcoming. Praise God. And all of a sudden, you begin to declare the word of God, and you're not seeing in your mind's eye the strength of your faith. You're seeing in your mind's eye the blood. The blood. It's backed by the blood. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's backed by the blood. When I speak authority, I have faith in the blood that backs that promise. My faith is in the blood. My faith is in him. It's in him. Praise God. And I see it. It's legal tender. Bearable. You know, and ultimately it's the enemy who's going to come face to face when I begin to declare the word of God with faith in that blood. You know, sometimes you hear people pleading the blood. I plead the blood over that. You're really just pleading the blood that backs your covenant rights as a child of God and those exceeding great and precious promises. Drawing the bloodline. That's family. That's covenant talk. Where you know, you believe in the blood that backs your rights as a believer, as a child of God. And so I'm just going to go ahead and just close with this. This is just a little excerpt about that. The blood of Christ, the Lamb. The blood of Christ, the Lamb, causes the people of God to prevail because it answers all of the enemy's accusations. Satan controls and defeats humankind through guilt and accusations. He is a blackmailer. However, the saints know that the blood has satisfied all the charges against them, joined them to God, and provided them with even necessary provision to defeat Satan. The blood has established an unassailable bond with a sovereign God that prevents Satan from separating the embattled Christian from God's eternal and complete resources. God has declared us righteous and victorious through the blood of Christ. Praise God. It's an overcoming. And you see what it says? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of Christ. Same language it says that through these you escape the corruption that is in the world through us. That's overcoming. There's something about believing the word based on the blood. It has an overcoming effect. Well, the world is stuck to its lust. You're not. Praise God, you escape it by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. So this morning, we're just talking about the blood speaks. And I understand that as you're walking by faith, understanding what the word of God says and trying to correlate the promises to our circumstances and situations and things like that, meditating on the word of God, it's important to understand that there is an overriding blood that backs everything. You're owned by God. Whether you had a good day or a bad day, God absolutely owns you. And that's awesome. It's wonderful. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You belong to him. It shows your identity is in Christ. It shows your value to God. He owns you because he paid that amazing price, the blood of Christ. That was the currency that it took to redeem you. And he paid it. Praise God. Speaks of God's love, his mercy, his grace. Thank God he saved me. But his love is always there for me. You know, it's not a one-time experience. It's a continual flow of grace and mercy. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Find grace to help. That's a continual flow in the life of the believer. There's a continual fellowship that you experience through that blood. And then finally, it speaks of God's promises. You know, Jesus lifted up the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood. New covenant in my blood. Shed for many. That Bible I hold, it's backed by blood. It's backed. It's payable to bearer on demand with something solid, something substantive. I put my faith in it because it's backed by something substantive. The Word. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the precious blood. It speaks better things. It's speaking over our lives right now. I pray that each of us this morning will have ears to hear those things that it's speaking. It speaks ownership. It speaks love. It speaks the promises of God. And Lord, help us to know, understand, Lord, that that is backed by something solid. As I'm growing in my faith, there is something tangible backing the whole thing. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart could agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blood.
I am not my own.
You bought me
with price of that precious blood, I will glorify you in my body and in my spirit, which are yours. I'm identified with you. I'm extremely valuable. My price tag was the blood of Jesus. Anything else was not enough. Thank you for revealing to me my true worth in Christ. I believe it. I'm amazingly special to you. Valuable to you to sacrifice your own son. And that love is now. It's there for me now. Any misstep on my part is met with love, with mercy and grace to cleanse my conscience from those dead works so that I can walk with you. Sweet fellowship, overcoming promises, backed by the blood. When I declare that it is written, it is backed by blood. And I trust the words of this new covenant. Precious promises that pertain to my life and my godliness. Thank you for the blood. Lord Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord and Savior. And I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.